Parents are now settling into a home life with their children having been sent off to college. This typically gives a sense of hope and satisfaction with the children growing in knowledge and building their future. However, media stories are creating a turmoil within that tranquility. Frequently, we hear about what's called an epidemic of rape on college campuses. Now, while it's ignorant to claim it's a non-existent issue, it's also a part of the campus culture, which is over-magnified by others. My next guest recently wrote an extensive piece featured at the Federalist about this issue. Here to discuss it is syndicated columnist, author of books including Useful Idiots, How Liberals Got It Wrong in the Cold War and Still Blame America First. She's also a senior fellow with the Ethics and Public Policy Center, Mona Chera. Good morning, Mona.
Hi, good morning. Nice to be with you.
And you can see Mona's writing on this topic at thefederalist.com, and the piece was called What the Left and Right Don't Get About Campus Rape. And as a foundation, you took a look at a recent study by the Washington Post. They teamed up with the Kaiser Foundation to poll 1,053 young men and women between 17 and 26 and who are now or recently were undergrads at four-year institutions. And what was it that the poll proclaimed that is misrepresenting the facts of the matter?
Well, the poll was advertised as confirming the so-called one in five figure that has become holy writ for the Obama administration and those on the left who insist that one out of five women will be raped in college. This is not what the survey shows. If you dig into the numbers and into the questions on the survey, you can see that it is the definition of assault is very overbroad. It includes things such as, you know, even touching someone over their clothes without permission, that sort of thing, or an unwanted kiss could be considered a sexual assault in this survey. So, in that sense, it was the headlines were very misleading about what this survey found, which is not to say that the survey was without merit. I mean, some of the numbers there are very interesting and worrisome. I mean, there are significant numbers of young women and even some men who are reporting actual rape. And so I went through the statistics a little bit on this survey, but it was the jumping off point for observing that both sides of this debate are really looking at it, in my judgment, the wrong way. So the left believes we have a rape culture, that the problem is traditional masculinity, and that we have to redesign our entire culture and dispense with the rights of the accused so that more men can be tried and found guilty. The right says, oh, this is all overblown, this is not really a problem, and besides, you're railroading a lot of innocent young men, okay? So my perspective is neither of those. I think there is a lot of bad behavior for sure happening on college campuses. But my diagnosis is that campuses, just like the military, just like the rest of our society, is trying to cope with the fallout of the sexual revolution and doing so very unsuccessfully. The sexual revolution, which was the left cheerleaded for it, including the feminists, has created now, it's sort of degenerated to the point where the hookup culture has become the norm. And what is the hookup culture? Well, it's a little vague and a little imprecise, but basically what it amounts to is the idea that people will make their bodies available to one another when they're very drunk and they don't even know each other, where they just hook up, they just meet at a party after lots of drinking, and they have sex. And this is not conducive to human thriving or happiness or what is best for either sex, in my opinion. And I do think that women in particular perceive it to be traumatic in some instances, and that's why you are getting these reports of assault and rape. I also say that you could not possibly create a better environment for date rape if you were trying than the hookup culture and its attendant drinking. Let me just mention something about the drinking. The drinking on the part of women has rocketed upward in the last 15 years. Sorry, you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to, just what you're getting into, the what is a fact that you were just starting to allude to with the women and the drinking habits and binge drinking in college campuses and high school, by the way. We've talked about that on the show as well.
Exactly, yes.
It becomes where it's not the person who is the catalyst of the binge drinking, no matter which side it is. It's almost like, well, they're creating the dangerous situation, but then in the next breath, they're absolved of the situation they created.
That's correct. And so, you know, on the one hand, I attribute this rise in binge drinking, especially on the part of young women. And there are reports, you know, that show that, you know, hospitalizations for alcohol poisoning are way up among young women. And so I attribute this rise in drinking to the fact that women are very uncomfortable about the idea of making their bodies available to men on, you know, without any acquaintance and so forth. That is to hookup culture. And so they drink themselves into a stupor so that they can do it, because it's what they think what college students or young people are expected to do. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is that the left has devised this whole defensive attitude about this. So if you say, you know, it's really not such a good idea to get blind drunk and then to stumble into your dorm room with just any old guy, they will say to you, that's victim blaming. You're not allowed to say that. Women should be able to do whatever they want. We just have to teach men not to rape. To which, you know, you say, well, okay, but common sense handed down from eons, from mother to daughter, is women are always going to be sexually vulnerable. You can't just do anything you want and then expect for there not to be consequences. Of course, women have to take steps to protect themselves. So the whole culture has become so twisted, and I blame feminists for part of this. You know, they developed a nail polish at one college that would change color if a woman were given a date rape drug in her drink.
Right. Sounds like a great idea.
It sounds like a great idea. The feminists hated it. They denounced it. They said, why should I have to be watching what I'm doing? It's not up to me. It's up to the men. Men should be taught not to rape. You know, look. There have always been bad men who do bad things, you know, just as there have always been men who will harm other men through fighting. There have always been men who are not gentlemen and will harm women. But, you know, and you know, that's the nature of humankind. Not everybody's a gentleman. But the notion that you would reject a common sense approach to protecting your own body and say no, I mean, it makes no sense, and it perpetuates this victim thing. There's another aspect to it. Feminists also refuse to acknowledge that there's ever such a thing as a false rape accusation. They say women never lie. It's kind of the new Victorianism, I call it, because, you know, in the Victorian era, the idea was that women were the angels of the home and that they had this special quality, that they were these angelic creatures in the home. Well, now the new feminist neo-Victorians are saying women never lie about sex. They never lie about sex. Well, we know many instances, and many of them have been in the news recently. There was the Duke LaCrosse case.
The Rolling Stone story.
There was the Rolling Stone case, where that woman at the University of Virginia lied about every material aspect of that whole story. They had to retract it. There was the Tawana Brawley case. There have been many cases. The Justice Department estimates that about 8% of rape accusations are false. Well, that's 8% is not nothing.
No.
And so, of course, you have to be careful to protect the rights of the accused as well as accusers. But that is not the mood that is being promoted on college campuses, thanks in very large measure to the Obama Education Department, which has big-footed this by stepping in and in something called the Dear Colleague Letter that the Department of Education circulated in 2011, they have taken command. They have said, okay, we're in charge now. Here's how all campuses that receive federal funds, which is pretty much everybody in the country except Hillsdale, here's how all campuses must handle these complaints. And basically what they've said is they do not have to respect the rights of the accused. They don't have to have a hearing and be able to confront witnesses against them. They don't have the traditional standards of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. No, now the standard of proof has been dropped to the lowest possible level. And so they have these tribunals that are supposed to litigate these matters. And frankly, some of these things are criminal. I mean, if there is an actual rape, it belongs with the police, not some jury-rigged system that the Department of Education has mandated, involving some English professors and a couple of students sitting there and hearing evidence. It's a crazy thing that's going on campuses, and they've endangered young people, and furthermore, they've killed romance. This whole hookup culture is the worst possible environment for the blossoming of mutual respect, of getting to know you, of falling in love, going out on dates, doing the things that really do bring happiness to young people, being appreciated for yourself.
Well, that's we're talking with Mona Chairman, by the way, her column for the Federalist, What the Left and Right Don't Get About Campus Rape, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. How much of that quest for equality that the feminists have wanted has in fact created the insensitivity to certain degrees and insecurity to other degrees that just pretty much eliminate any opportunity for what you're referring to as happy, positive, mutually respectful relationships?
I think the feminists have to take a huge share of the blame for this. They were the ones who rejected chivalry. They were the ones who said that they did not want a double standard, so-called evil double standard on sexual matters. They wanted to be as randy and promiscuous as men. And so now they've created a culture where that is the expectation. And what happens is it precludes romance, courtship, the respectful, respecting sexual boundaries. I've talked to many young people who college age who say that if you're the kind of young person, let's say a young woman who's religious, for example, and does not want to engage in the hookup culture, you will be ridiculed, you will be held in contempt, and not just by young men, by women, by other women. And it has created this toxic environment where it's hard to achieve traditional relationships and traditional happy experiences at this most crucial stage of life. You know, it's funny because most young people still tell pollsters that they do hope to get married and have a family someday. And the statistics tell us that college-educated people in our society are the most likely to marry of all the groups in our society. And it is a big problem that high school educated and others are not marrying, but leave that aside for the moment. What kind of preparation for having a happy and successful romantic life is it to engage in hookup culture where you never develop relationships, or at least it's hard to, where it's casual sex, meaningless sex, drunken sex has become the norm? What kind of preparation is that for a long-term, monogamous, happy, fulfilling, multi-layered, romantic relationship between a husband and a wife? Very poor preparation.
And I could see this having been a proponent of domestic violence rights and prevention, talking with a lot of women who are abused, studying the men who are their abusers. This lack of understanding, mutual respect, and even hostility that this culture is creating, to me, appears like the building ground or the foundation for an increase down the line in the lives of these now young men of abusive behavior.
Yes, and some of the women say, you know, that the culture that we have, which includes not just what happens on college campuses, but what they've experienced before they arrive, where they're, you know, it's a very sex-drenched culture and crude and kind of disgusting, frankly. And some young men manage to come through all that unscathed and are still gentlemen and still very polite in the way they treat women. But many come through that and come to school expecting that sex is an entitlement. And some of the women are very blunt and say that they feel like they're treated like sex toys rather than like individuals. And our culture has to account for what it is doing to love, romance, tenderness, affection, all the things that we claim we want and that we know do bring happiness to people.
This is a lengthy article that Mona wrote. It's over at thefederalist.com, what the left and right don't get about campus rape. We have a direct link over to it at our website. But it's lengthy because there's a lot to be said and a lot that needs to be said, which Mona mentioned to me before we started this segment, that this is becoming something, as they say in baseball, in her wheelhouse. That's something she's going to be paying a lot of attention and focus to, which is a great thing, because after you read what the left and right don't get about campus rape, there's a lot of blank spaces where solutions are needed and legitimate understanding and knowledge and awareness is required. And I believe, Mona, that your article, What the Left and Right Don't Get About Campus Rape, is the first step in filling in those blanks. And I believe that when people read it, they'll also join your fight for a greater understanding and appreciation, mutual respect, and a greater sense of reality. And what has become a politically polluted situation that is putting people's lives at risk in a variety of ways. Again, it's at thefederalist.com. Over at our website, we have a direct link to Mona's article. She's also an author of the books Useful Idiots, How Liberals Got It Wrong in the Cold War and Still Blame America, First, and Do-Gooders, How Liberals Hurt Those They Claim to Help, and The Rest of Us. She is a syndicated columnist, and as you can see, she gets passionate about something. She gives you an education on something as well. Mona Sharon, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it.